Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View From Here. Old John Johnson was in our kitchen just last week, in excellent form as usual. You may remember John for his remarkable stories about the history of the Driftless. All of them true, he says, or at least they ought to be. He was holding forth on the amazing events of 1929, and this is what he said. In the spring of 29, Mayor Larson proposed the startling notion that we should straighten the Kickapoo River. He said that the straightened river would increase river traffic, be a boon to the local economy, and it would put Viroqua on the map as a can-do kind of town. All kinds of people had all kinds of notions about how to accomplish the gargantuan task. Pastor Hinkle proposed a unified Sunday of prayer in which people of all faiths would spend a designated minute in simultaneous supplication of the Almighty. He was sure that we would all awake on Monday to a gloriously straightened-out Kickapoo. What the Reverend didn't realize was just how hard it is to get people of various denominations to do anything together, let alone change the course of nature. That noble man spent the better part of a year trying to gather his prayerful coalition together. In the end, all he got was two churches, the Viola Day School, and an Elks Lodge. That was it. Hardly the heavenly force that Pastor Hinkle was counting on. Divine intervention would have to wait for a different cause. A somewhat more physical approach was taken by the Dynamiters. That was a group of engineers, farmers, and Republicans who said that you could fix the river by setting off hundreds of strategically placed charges all along the course of the Kickapoo. They would be triggered sequentially, following a precise timetable so that as each bend in the river was blown off the map, the water would run directly to the next bend. And then that bend would be dynamited and so forth. By the end of all the explosions, the result would be an arrow straight waterway, a barge captain's delight. Let the shipping begin. The group was so confident that their plan would be adopted that they began acquiring explosives immediately following their first meeting. But this stockpiling of TNT would soon backfire, so to speak. Wally Wellbender's barn, which was the storehouse for all this firepower, was separated from the planet one Saturday night when a carelessly discarded cigarette caused a flame in the hay, which became a blaze, which set off the powder kegs, which sent Wally's cow and several chickens to their final resting places all over Vernon County. There was a woodsman, Trapper Bergstrom by name, down at the south end of the river in Waseca, who was sure that if he hooked up enough horses to enough lines, he could pull on his end of the river until the entire waterway gave up its bends and acquiesced to a newer, straighter form. Seemed like a simple proposition. You can do anything with enough horsepower. Everyone knows that. Old Trapper knew plenty about horses, but he didn't know anything about water. What it weighs, what it likes, how it wants to flow. At 8 pounds per gallon, a river's worth of water weighs trillions of tons. I don't care how many Belgians you have in harness, you just don't pull a few trillion tons wherever you want. In fact, you don't pull it at all, even an inch. Not at all. It was a humiliating day. What started out as a proud statement about the power of men and horses ended up a simple tribute to the force of nature. It was no contest. Well, you know what happened later in 29. The banks and businesses and all those wonderful schemes came crashing down together, and more than a few poor souls took their own lives to end the pain. But I tell you, no one jumped from a window here in the Driftless. No, sir, not a one. Because it doesn't matter what the world throws at us. Folks here know in their hearts that better days are ahead. We just know it. And besides, there weren't any buildings tall enough in those days to provide a window of sufficient height to succeed at the aforementioned final leap. Then, with his old blue eyes a-twinkle, he pushed back from our table, bid us all a good evening, and set off towards his home. Walking away, he called over his shoulder and said, "Make sure you check back with me before you go public with that story. I may have left something out."